In this 18th verse, we already saw that David is begging God for divine illumination. And he says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." And I told you last week, knowing how great and how important this request is, he brings three reasons, right? It's kind of a three arguments he's bringing in verse 19, 20 and 21. Why should God open my eyes? These are the three reasons. Those are the reasons that come in the subsequent verses. The first reason, we looked at it last time, he talks about his condition in this world. He says, "Lord, I am a stranger." Verse 19. "I am a stranger in this earth." So do not hide your commandments. Strangers in a foreign country, right, need guidance, right, need direction. As strangers, we can easily lose our way. So he's using that as an argument. We looked at that in great detail last time. Now, let's look at a second reason. Why should God illuminate him? Why should God open his eyes that he may be able to see wonderful things? The second reason that he gives and the second argument he brings to this petition is his earnest desire for God's word. Look at what he says in verse 20. "My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times." I think it's a very powerful reason in prayer. When we ask anything in a very lukewarm, in a cold manner, by our lack of earnestness in prayer and cold prayers, you know what we actually tell God? "God, though my lips may be praying for certain things," right? Maybe my lips is praying, asking for this, but my heart really doesn't want this, right? Because our hearts doesn't resonate with the lips. So earnestness in prayer is a very powerful reason why God will answer our prayers. So we all have to ensure, that our prayers are earnest. And just this one reason is enough for us to realize why so many of our prayers are unanswered, right? You just have to ask how earnest are your prayers. Look at what David is saying here. Here we see David he knows the need. He knows the great need that he has to be illuminated. God has to open his eyes so that he can see wonderful things. He needs to be blessed with illumination. And he sees that great need so much and he prays earnestly. "God, you have to open my eyes." Why? "Because my soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times," right? It's not a dead-hearted, formal, indifferent petition. Every word of this verse comes from a burning heart, right? It's like a volcano fire erupting from a burning heart. Let's understand this verse with two headings, right? What is the nature of his desire? And let's look at the timing of his desire. Okay, what is the nature, what is the quality of his desire? I was trying to struggle to find words. I think there is a word called vehement, right? In Tamil they say very. It's kind of a vehement, it's kind of a very earnest longing. He says, "I am longing." There is something, I have so much of desire. My soul is longing, and he's saying my soul, the desire is stretching my soul. My soul is, there is something there, okay? I'm longing for that. This is the object, I'm longing for that. And just like, if we desire something, and let's imagine that we are tired and we want to reach out to that, how we stretch ourselves to get it, right? And similarly, he sees the object of his desire and his soul is stretching, stretch, stretch, stretch. You keep stretching, what will happen, right? After a point, you keep stretching the rubber. It will crack and break, right? And I think that's the expression he's using here. Look at what he's saying. My soul breaks with longing. Right? It breaking. I think it's a metamorphical expression, right? He's just using a poetic language to show the strength of his earnestness, to show the intensity of his desire. My soul breaks. I'm longing and longing and stretching to maximum limit, and my soul is going to break in this longing. My soul breaks with longing. The desire is strong. Sometimes when there are desires, right, it is painful. Have you had desires where, it keeps growing and it becomes painful after a point, and it kind of affects your body and you start yearning for it. And when we are yearning for something very badly, and when we don't have what we desire, it sometimes breaks our heart, right? Not only the denial of what we desire, but even the delay of satisfaction kind of increases pain, right? Just like little children. Little children wanted to, go to picnic, and my daughter, you tell her, picnic, and she will start, yepo. And then, when are we going? When are we going? Is it bus? Is it car? Is it flight? Have you booked the hotel? Yepo. Every day morning, yepo. When? I think it'll so longs for it. And that's why we decided we'll never tell her anywhere we are going until, previous day. Right? Otherwise, she will not sleep, and she will not allow us to sleep. And the longing is so much. I remember once we took her to, she was saying Delhi, epo. And then we took her to Delhi once. And then, once we went there, and it's so strong. There, even in Delhi, she started asking, when are we going to Delhi? And we have to tell her, this is Delhi. And she couldn't believe it. And she kept saying, epo. So, a longing, right? And it's a metamorphical expression to show his earnestness, the strength of his desire. On top of this, it's not only a longing that is breaking his soul. What makes it, really earnest is its timing. Look at what he's saying. My soul is longing. My soul breaks with longing. Not on Sundays. Not once in a while. Not when I hear a very earnest, good sermon. No, look at what he says. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Wow. I think that's where the thing is, right? That's where the sting is. At all times, just like David says, rejoice in the Lord at all times. All times. It's like a constant yearning earnestness that is burning inside him at all times. Not a flash. It's not once in a while, right? You get all excited and worked up. This is the ordinary state of his heart. He's saying at all times, morning, afternoon, evening, every time my soul is longing. It is breaking with longing. Wow, that's a great argument, right? It's like the Psalm 1 man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It's a constant exercise, right? That longing, desire that makes him read, that makes him, look at God's word always. And what is he longing for? The object, he says, your judgments, right? His desire for God's word. And God's word, I think he emphasizes the nature of God's word being his God's judgments, meaning the infallible truths of God's mind. See, ultimately what matters is not what is your opinion or what is my opinion. Ultimately what matters is God. What is God's opinion, right? And his opinions are so sure and so true that it's called judgments, right? And God has revealed his opinions in his word. I want to know that judgment. I'm longing for knowing that judgment. And it is, I think it's an expression of word of God, whether it is written or whether it is preached, my soul breaks with longing for the word of God. And it is constant. It is always. So the psalmist is desiring to learn the word of God, to read as he is yearning and reading regularly. His great yearning in life is to hear it being preached. Right? Not only he reads it regularly, but when it's preached by pastors and prophets, and he never misses a meeting where God's word is preached, and he submits and he tries to understand and obey that so God may illuminate him more. And he's like what 1 Peter 2:2 says, as a newborn babes crave for spiritual milk, milk of the word of God by which you may grow. He's not just reading the Bible just to grow Bible knowledge, right? Get some notional understanding. He wants to be illuminated. He wants to appropriate it. He wants to get spiritual strength and illumination, and he wants to grow. So that's the explanation, I think, for that verse. Okay, this is a verse, and we stand today before this verse as part of our application. I have two thoughts, right? Two lines of thought. One, I was looking at this verse and I was examining myself, right? I was looking at taking my heart. And so that's what we will do. We'll do a self-examining rebuke and then an encouragement, right? We should not end the sermon with a rebuke. There should be an encouragement. So let's do first a self-examining rebuke. Keep this verse as a mirror, right? And I've seen a lot of verses in at homes and all that. We don't see such verses. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times, right? Do you know anything of this desire? That's what I have to ask. I look at a man who's kind of burning and earnestness, and not once in a while on a Sunday, but always. This is not just with David. This seems to be the condition of every healthy, growing child of God. God's children have a strong, constant, earnest bent towards God's word. And it's not faint or it's not cold wish, but it's a burning desire. And that's how Bible describes true believers, right? Even in other places, I pointed out 1 Peter 2:2 as newborn babes. Crave. And other places we have in Psalms as the deer pants for living water and to meet God in his through his word, so that he can be revived. And Psalm 40 talks about, I long for your precepts. The same chapter, verse 40, sorry. And it is set forth as the basic appetite, right? Hunger and thirst for God's word, as if a man has not eaten food for a long time and he's yearning for God's word. And my soul fainteth and longeth for God's word. These are the expressions. What do you make out of these expressions? Are these people don't have anything else to do? We are so busy. Have they gone mad or overexcited, or is this all a poetic expression? No, these are real experiences of God's people. The truth is, we are so indifferent and so weak in our desires, and our mind and our emotions are all given so much to the world, we don't even know how to understand the force of such expressions, right? That's where we have come. So low spiritually we are. Right? And we think these are all imaginary and fit only for songs and, you know, poems. And we forget how cold and how indifferent, how apathetic we are towards God's word. We don't recognize the value of God's word. Notice it is not once in a while this excitement. You hear a sermon and you are excited for 2 hours. Oh, what a wonderful sermon, and everything is over when you go home. Not a fleeting, but he's saying at all times. Many Christians may have good desires for a while, but they don't abide in it, right? Is that not a problem? I think when you look at this and when you examine yourself in the mirror, it shows your ugliness. It shows your heart is so wanting, right? And I think when you see that wanting, I think we should rebuke that, right? This verse should rebuke us so much. This verse should rebuke all these false Pentecostal religion. I think all these false teachers, false teaching, in a way is native to human fallenness, right? The Pentecostalism is in a way, you know, comes from a natural man out of his own pride and refusing to accept God's appointed means. I know a Pentecostal friend, I spoke about Bible and he said, why that old book, all that is for the new babes in Christ, milk for the babes. I am grown and I have a direct relationship with God through the Spirit. I speak in tongues. And that's what they say. They don't need the Bible. What will they answer for this, right? And you and I sometimes, and like I said, there is a native Pentecostalism in us. Without, by ignoring God's word, by keeping God's word aside in a limit, and we think, you know, we can mature and grow because we pray and God is with us. No, look at David as a matured saint. He yearns for God's word. Do you have this yearning? Do you have this yearning? That's what we should, oh, this should rebuke people who just use the Bible only when they are sad. Right? All their mind is set and it flows towards the world, and when there is difficulty that comes in life, when they have no other comforts in life, when they are tensed, when let's say there is temptation and they are tortured by temptation, and when they sin too much, that's when they want to read the Bible. Why? To comfort them. Right? When they are at ease and everything is all right, they don't even open their Bible. You know, look at what David says. At all times, whether in prosperity or whether in poverty, right? Whether in prosperity, how to be humble, whether in poverty or distress, how to comfort him. At all times I need one to keep me from pride when I am growing, one to keep me from discouragement when there are troubles. I need your word always. Do we see that, right? And some, when they read the Bible, when their conscience tortures them, right? Then they have a desire to read the Bible. As if some people, you know, foolishly think they should drink water only when they get dehydrated. But not as a constant diet habit, right? Well, the terrors of the Lord are upon them and, you know, they are very scared and they want to read the Bible. Just like the Pharaoh. Pharaoh, when the plagues were upon him, he couldn't manage. You know, he kept screaming, oh, send for Moses and Aaron, send for Moses and Aaron. But as the trouble kind of wore off and there's no plagues and he's not interested in their listening to Moses. That's how people are. Right? It's the fear that drives them to God's word and not the love. And some out of general admiration and, you know, some tradition and religious background, they look at how God, listening to Bible is very good. So they go on enjoying the Bible and they like a sermon on a topic, that topic, this topic, and eagerly hearing for a while. Do you know, even Herod was such a, you know, reprobate. He gladly enjoyed preaching. And it also brought him peace. And you know, but when it attacked this lust, there are people like that who just hear the word of God. And I was teaching on saving faith, right? And our confession talks about temporary believers, right? Who enjoy God's word, who think, you know, God's word is important. And they can get enlightened and they can also change their life and control their lust for a time. The temporary believers, they will fall off, right? And but they are believers, they became believers because of common grace. There is no divine work that has happened in their heart. And confession says there will be believers like that who will fall off, right? You know, why don't we have this desire? So many will listen to God's word, you know, until their lusts are attacked, right? You touch their darling sin and they become all comfortable and, you know, they get disgraced and stop reading Bible. And some people want to listen to Bible just like the Athenians. They always want something new. They are happy to hear when there are new things being taught and new ways of teaching things. But when the novelty goes off, right, God's word is repeated in all its simplicity, all the desire to hear God's word fades. and they want all that complex, intricate, deep connections and all, very interested. But you teach the plain truth of Word of God that kind of points their sins, they neglect it. Right? So David, look at David. David longs for God's Word at all times to feel its power. And I think this verse rebukes all of us personally, right? We should rebuke our own hearts for its coldness, for its cursed. You know, there is a word called satiety. Satiety, right? It's like, you know, you have something, you're overfed with something, and after that it kind of becomes, you get fed up, right? It doesn't taste good anymore. You're kind of satisfied, enough, right? That can happen in God's Word also, right? You know, we are overfed and sermon glutted, and we are overfed, and there kind of come into our heart some kind of indifference and coldness to the Word of God. Oh, may God save us from that. Usually I think when God's Word becomes very rare, that's when we realize the benefit of that. That's when we realize the value of God's Word. When we are missing it more than when we are enjoying it. I think 1 Samuel, it says, 1 Samuel 3, the Word of God in those days were very precious because there was no prophet, right? And because it's rare, and that's when it was valued. And when public ministry and prophets are rare and preachers are rare, Word of God becomes precious. When Roman Catholicism hit the Bible for centuries, right? And they would not use the Bible to be translated in what they called as vulgar language, right? Vulgar tongue. No, people would give everything they have just to get a piece of Bible paper, right? You know that? Just a fragment of Bible in English. They will give everything to get that. But now God, in His gracious providence, He has not only given the Word of God in our own language, and there are so many Bibles and technology and, you know, digital Bibles, Bibles in our cars, Bible in our homes, and many Bibles, not just one. Bible in our mobiles, Bible in our laptops. Oh, how careless are we towards God's Word. Just like in Solomon's time, right, when gold and silver were like dirt in the streets, right, because it was so common. And so the Word of God is so precious and so valuable because of its plenty, I think it's kind of become cheap now. People grow careless and they... I think we are all guilty of being fed up with the Word of God. You don't believe that? That's very dangerous, people. Pastor, how can you say we are all fed up with the Word of God? I will show you. It shows by the way you are reading the Bible regularly. We show by the rare reading of God's Word. What are we saying? Enough. Right? I don't have to read it so much. I can't even follow a calendar. We don't redeem. We have all our excuses. We don't redeem time to read God's Word. We think we have other priorities. Enough. I'm going to church once in a while. When I get time, I will read Bible. That's enough. We are fed up with God's Word. That's what we are saying. And by missing church meetings, when the Word of God is preached, those days, oh, people will get up at 4 o'clock and preachers preached, and 4 o'clock they will go and listen. And then come back home and go to their work at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock. And why, you know, we are not having 4 o'clock meeting, but we are having normal meetings, and that too on a holiday. Why is there so little attendance on Sunday evenings? Oh, morning we have heard and we are fed up. It's good. It's enough. Who is going to go again in the evening? And weekly meetings, we have to remind people, oh, so many not attending. Why? We have our excuses, right? But God sees that. God takes it as if, oh, you are fed up with my Word? You have enough? When there are precious meetings when my Word is being explained and you miss it and you don't, without any conscience? And kind of God says, you will reap the fruits of your actions. See, being fed up with food is dangerous, right? If you don't have appetite for your natural food, that means there is some big disease, right? We get worried when children don't eat for 1 or 2 days. How much should we be worried if we don't have desire, growing desire for God's word? And when men generally, let me warn you in a way, whichever church God sees, they get fed up of his word. In history, this is proved. God usually sends a famine to correct that fed upness. Okay? You see that in Amos 8:11, right? I will send a famine. Oh, you are ignoring my word. I am sending my prophets and you are taking them for easy and you think you have enough. I will send a famine of hearing the word of God, that they shall wander from sea to sea, from north to west, north to east. They will run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and they shall not find it. Right? And that is threatened by God, that you take my word for granted. You don't appreciate it. You don't value what I am giving you. God sends spiritual judgments even today. Right? And we take things for granted. Let's never do it. I think the way God deals with all these gluttoned, fed up people is when they neglect and scorn the word of God. And instead of daily gathering like manna, you know, they'll have to run. They'll have to wait for months together to hear one good sermon. One sermon that will really touch their heart. Have you been in times like that? I've been in times like that. Right? When I was a believer, I have every month once I'll go to Madurai just to hear a good sermon. Only monthly once. Oh, pray that God may not send such a famine to our church, right? This fed upness with God's word. You see that outside the churches, right? Rarely we hear God's word. I think God has given them up to deluding spirit. You don't want my word? Oh, here are your useless stories, that stories that you love. All the false teaching that will destroy you. And God himself said, do not throw pearls before swine. And God never does that. People who don't appreciate his word, he will ignore it. So I think it's a rebuke on us, right? When we try show fed upness with God's word and we are fully focused on worldly things and we despise the word of God. And you know what God said to David when he punished David? The greatest sin David did, you despised my word, and God doesn't take that easily. Right? He says, so the sword will not depart from your head. You despise my word. Now, we are all like Martha, cumbered with many things, but Mary, she sat at his feet. She valued his word. Right? I think we have to take this warning. If you're not, why are we not fervent? I think that's the question we have to ask. David says, my soul breaks with longing for your word at all times. We can say our soul is breaking with longing for the worldly things, right? Worldly things we have longing. And so there is a self-examination and a rebuke, self-rebuke, right? I don't want to leave you with the rebukes, but let me give you some encouragement in front of this verse, right? I want to encourage you to develop this constant longing by giving you some encouraging reasons, right? Why should I have this desire, Pastor? I can give you hundreds of reasons, but in the little time I have, let me see what I can do. Without any kind of selfish appeal, let me appeal to your conscience, right? Whose word is this? This is God's word, and your best desires and affections are due to him. Aren't we to love with all our heart and soul and strength? It is his judgments that really matter, right? Are you well informed about his judgments, right? Do you see how much you lack? It is his judgment that will really bless us and give us wisdom and to walk our life properly. It's not what the world says, but what the sovereign ruler of this world says that matters. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. And the effects of this desire, we should cultivate this desire for word of God, right? When you cultivate this, it kind of draws us from all the useless addictive, sinful things of the world. There's no greater immunization, antidote, right? Look, the same Psalm, verse 36, he says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness." Wow. I think in Tamil it kind of captures. It's like a balance. Lord, incline, kind of push me to the side of your testimonies. And only when I'm pushed to that side, I will not be pushed towards covetousness. Right? When the heart is drawn towards the testimonies, it is drawn off from the carnal, covetous pursuits of the world. But you see, the desires are the bent of our life, isn't it? That is the stream, you know, guard your heart with all diligence, because from which flows the issues of life. Whatever you desire in your heart and all your thoughts and actions and all that will flow that way, right? Our passionate desires. All that, our life depends on that. And the word of God, and if it is word of God, it'll help us to hinder a lot of things, right? And this desire alone, I think, can help us. If this vehement, earnest desire for God's word alone can help us to overcome the excuses, sometimes legitimate reasons, that are hindering us from growing to a level of divine illumination. Right? We are not using the right means of grace, and we are being hindered because we have reasons, we have struggles, we have our remaining sin, and all this is an hindrance. What will help us to overcome those obstacles? It is this burning desire. Where there are strong desires, there will be great efforts. Don't you agree? Right? It all comes from the desire. And the root cause of any impossible accomplishments in the world, you know, it's because of the desire, right? And but if it's a slight wish and it's not a serious desire, and it's not, you can say you desire God's word, but if it is not supported with corresponding endeavors, efforts, then you're just kidding yourself. It's just a wishful thinking that you have. If you truly desire something, there will be corresponding efforts to satisfy that desire, right? This desire, not like nothing else, will help us to overcome the hindrances for us to regularly read God's word, meditate God's word, grow in truth, and reach the stage of illumination. Okay, should I tell you the blessed impact it will have on our life? The glorious promises given to such a man, right, who the day and night meditates, whatever he does prospers, right? Wherever he goes prospers, he always bearing fruit in every season, he grows in sanctification, wisdom. Think of our prayers. I think strong affection, strong desire, lack of strong desires and cold prayers, you know, doesn't accomplish anything. It is the, you know, when we think about all these men who have done so much, you know, George Whitefield and all these men, right? I sometimes read George Whitefield's sermons and Wesley's sermons, and I'm told that there are so many people converted on that sermon. When you look at the sermon, I think there's nothing much in this, you know, but I think it all depends on the earnestness with which they preached, right? The strong affection, desire is a great argument that moves the heart of God. You know, it's not our lip, it's not our eloquent way of praying, how we kind of pray without any pause and great words we use. No, the desires of our heart. And you know, it's so important that we should develop. So let's learn this lesson from David. Look at David. He is praying in verse 18 saying, "Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." And the first reason he gives is, "I am a stranger, O Lord, in a foreign land. Please pity me, because strangers do not know their path until you show your path. So do not hide your commandments." Verse 19 and verse 20. Now he prays, "Lord, you have to open my eyes because my soul breaks with longing for your judgments." Not once in a while, at all times. Let's pray.